Sport on Highland brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie, now stocking the official GAA Donegal snood and face masks.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be hearing from Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan as he earns his frustration once again ahead of the final home game of the season against Waterford. That, of course, was put back 24 hours to Monday night. We'll look ahead to championship competition for the Tyrone and Donegal Hurlers and indeed Tyrone Lady Footballers with Paddy Hunter of the Ulster Herald and Michael McMullen of the County Derry Post. While Martin McHugh also runs through the key points of the proposals for a split GAA season in the year 2022. But it's ladies first, and in soccer, Tyler Toland made her Champions League debut last night in Glasgow. Toland was a second half substitute in Glasgow City's first round qualifying win over Piemont United. Glasgow needed penalties to see off the stubborn Dubliners. The game finished 0-0 after extra time, with the hosts winning 6-5 on spot kicks. Toland was not involved in the penalty kicks. I spoke to the St Johnstone native earlier today, who is content and happy with life in Glasgow. So just on that Champions League game last night, first of all, Tyler, a victory over Piemont. Difficult opponents, but a good one in the end for you.
Yeah, of course. Piemont were a really good team. They were really up for it. They came out of the blocks early, very aggressively. Thought we maybe started a bit slow, weren't moving the ball quick enough. But as the game went on, I think we started to get into it more and move the ball. It was a bit of a frustrating game. Obviously, 0-0, it went the whole way to the penalties. But at the end of the day, we got the result, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, obviously it's a huge competition, and when it comes down to penalties, it's a very nervous situation. Were the girls and yourself nervous when the spot kicks came about?
I think it's just all about composure, really, when it goes to penalties. Just, you know, when you're taking your penalty, just go up, like, and you have a job to do, put it in the back of the net. Some people say penalties are a lottery, but yeah, I think it's just, if that's the way the game goes, that's the way it goes, and you just have to do your job, score your penalties.
Yeah. Listen, for you personally, it was a big night, a special night, Champions League debut. Were you happy with your performance, obviously coming on from the second half?
Of course, I was happy to come on and get some minutes with the team. But the most important thing, really, in Champions League knockout stages like that is to get the result, and so we can progress to the next round. And that's what we did. So, yeah, really happy with last night.
Yeah, and listen, it's a competition that I'm sure you obviously dreamt of playing in as you were coming along playing football, and you knew that you were maybe going to move away from localised soccer and cross-channel to play in the Champions League stage. I'm sure it was something that you dreamed of.
It's class, really, to play in Champions League. But when coming here at Glasgow, I knew they play Champions League football. They've been a very successful team. But I'm really enjoying my time here so far and just looking forward to the future.
Yeah, so you've settled in well in Glasgow then, have you, Tyler?
Definitely. I've settled in well. The girls are really welcoming, both on and off the pitch, which makes it easier when you're coming into a new team. I've got Claire Shine over here. She's Irish, so it's always nice to have a familiar face when you're moving to a new club. But the girls have been top class. I'm really enjoying training. It's been really good standard. Loving the matches. And I've settled in well, to be fair.
Yeah, obviously you had an injury for about 2 months, didn't you, ahead of the move, or maybe just after the move, was it, Tyler? But you have had one start, but you've featured in the bulk of the games since the start of the season. So how do you feel you've been progressing on since?
Yeah, I got injured about, I was just coming back from injury when the move came about, so it was kind of perfect timing to come here and just be here for the start of the season. But no, I'm happy with the minutes I've got. Like, I got 30 minutes, 60 minutes and 75 minutes last night. So I'm just building it up, because you can't go in too early. But I'm just happy to help the team when I do get on the pitch to victories.
Last year, of course, you went to Manchester City. Then there's talk of a move to Glasgow. Obviously, you were looking for more game time, and this opportunity presented itself. Was there much convincing, and are people trying to talk you around to take the move, or was it something that you jumped at?
I kind of jumped at the opportunity, to be honest. The assistant manager mentioned it to me one day and I was just really interested and up for it. Glasgow have been a really successful team over the years, as I said, and it was kind of perfect timing coming back from the injury. They're a top class side and yeah, just I'm ready for some game time.
What's the ambition then with Glasgow? Obviously the record holders of the Premier League in Scotland, looking to maybe do further in the Champions League, and this is all something that you want to be a part of, and I'm sure a medal at the end of the season is something that you'll want.
Yeah, of course. Ambitions this season really is just to work as hard as I can, help the team to hopefully more success and, as you say, hopefully more trophies and medals come the end of the season.
Yeah, we'll just move on maybe to the international situation. Tyler, at 16 you made your debut for the Ireland seniors. You haven't been about the team for the last year or so. I take it that is something that you want to happen again. You want to get that Ireland jersey back on you?
It goes without saying, really. Nothing beats pulling on the green jersey and nothing makes me more proud to play for my country. So hopefully that's something I can do in the future again. But in regards to the current situation, I can't really comment. The last game I played for them, I scored and got man the match and I've been dropped since. So just hopefully in the near future I can pull that jersey back on.
Yeah, and I'm sure big performances with Glasgow will go a long way in helping to that.
I'm just going to keep working as hard as I can with Glasgow and help the team, and hopefully sometime soon I can pull that jersey back on.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, it happens real soon for you, Tyler. Just a note on growing up. Obviously, you come from good football stock, so you do in St Johnston from the Tolan family. But who was your idol when you were growing up, Tyler?
For me, it was probably...
I'm sure your dad Morris would be saying him at the minute, but...
Nah, it was probably Messi, to be fair. He's one of the best players in the world, and just he's the player I've watched from a very young age on the TV. So, yeah, for me, it's probably Messi.
Yeah, you've probably let down a couple of St Johnston men, Kildrum Tigers men. They were hoping you were going to call out a few names there, were you?
Aye.
Well, listen, Tyler, it's great to talk to you. Good to get you on Highland Radio Sport. And all we can do is wish you every success now with the coming months in your time in Glasgow.
Thank you very much.
Tyler Tolan speaking to me earlier today following her Champions League debut last night with Glasgow City. Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan has once again highlighted his dismay at the moving of the final series of games in the SSE or Trusty Premier Division. A win at home to Waterford for Harps, coupled with a Shamrock Rovers victory over fellow Dublin side Shelburne, would see the Ballybuffet side stay in the top flight and avoid the playoff. Shamrock Rovers' twice postponed game with Derry City has now been refixed for this coming Saturday, which means all five games to end the season have been put back 24 hours from Sunday to Monday evening. Horgan feels it's a situation which was badly managed again.
There's a hindrance a lot more than just us. It might go back to Tuesday for all we know because it changes by the day. Unfortunately, with the game going back to Monday, the FAI operate on a Monday-to-Monday basis, as in that is their week. We're not sure who's going to be available and who's not, because we had the week's suspensions for this week, which included Sunday. We haven't a clue who's going to be available on Monday here or not. It's nearly on the farcical terms that the game and games have been put back, and we feel that it should have been managed a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, obviously I'm sure it's very frustrating as a manager that this situation has risen his head once again, but it's something that's become a bit of the norm through the season and chopping and changing all the time, Ollie.
Yes and no. I think it was a very difficult year to manage, and I think it had been managed that health took priority, and rightly so, all the way through until 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden health became a little bit less important, and to finish the season became more important than the health issues with a team. There was four teams that suffered the virus. Thankfully, we weren't one of them. And they were stepped down for 2 weeks, absolutely and utterly correctly. We suffered the brunt of it with Pats and Shamrock Rovers having to play them in the 1 week. But then it happened to Derry, and the same, if you like, carrot of a two-week step-down wasn't afforded to them, that health became less important. And to finish the season by this Sunday was the utmost, which it turned into a little bit of a farce. And to Derry's credit, they turned the tables and they get to play Shamrock Rovers on Saturday. The difficulty is we're expecting Shamrock Rovers to do us a favour in Dublin in Talca Park on Monday, and that's if we can turn over Waterford. So it gets a little bit more difficult. However, if we don't beat Waterford, we've no one to complain about by ourselves.
Does it? So then it's putting you at more of a disadvantage than what you would have been at, do you feel, a number of weeks ago, Ollie, given the consideration? And we understand there's an international break coming up as well. Shamrock Rovers, yes, they're trying to finish the season unbeaten. They're remaining on course for that. But they've got a big glut of games, Ollie, in a very, very short period of time. And when you come to the last day of the campaign, anything can happen. So does that mean, when you factor everything in, that Harps are at a greater disadvantage now than maybe the what you would of when the season was originally to end?
Look, we're not making an excuse here that if we don't see in the division, that's not an excuse. I've heard the word sport and integrity being used all the way through the lockdown, before the restart, as regards relegation, as regards playoffs, all being the same as what they are, to protect sport and integrity. I just don't see the integrity in a game being played 48 hours before Shamrock Rovers were hoping can win in Talca Park. I just don't see any integrity in that. We may as well play a five-a-side and run the league off that way and get it done, and if we suffer relegation because of it, get it done. However, that's the powers that are there, and in fairness to Derry, they were unduly penalised for unfortunately contracting the virus, and they were punished in the wrong. I think it's something that could have been handled a hell of a lot better and could have been handled from a long way back rather than at this late stage.
I'm sure when this season's done and dusted, there'll be a lot of learning from everybody right across the board, Ollie. But what you're looking into now is having to take 3 points against Waterford. If somebody said to you at the start of the season, you're sitting second from bottom, knowing that a win could possibly keep you in the top flight, would you have taken that, Ollie?
Absolutely, Oisin. But like, when you looked at the fixtures, you've got Shamrock Rovers going to Talca Park in the last game, and all being right, you would feel, yeah, they would possibly be favourites up there, even though Shelburne have drawn with them up in Talla. But the goalposts have changed a little bit, and maybe it might be a more difficult feat for Shamrock Rovers to go and win that game on Monday. However, unless we beat Waterford, it's irrelevant, and should we not beat Waterford or the results not go away in Dublin, we play a playoff the following weekend against Galway or Longford, and they're the two hurdles we've got to look at, and it is what it is, Oisin, unfortunately. No.
Waterford, of course, looking to secure a European spot. What sort of test and challenge is it going to be then for you, Ollie? What sort of
Huge. They're up there for a reason. They're third on the table for a reason. You know, they've got the internationals and Brian Murphy in goals. He's the best goalkeeper in the league, and Darren Murphy, who has been capped, you know, numerous times and played all the way through the leagues in England. That's the kind of quality they have, and they're third in the league for a reason, and they will fully be expecting to qualify for Europe. And if they beat us, well, they certainly deserve that. It'll be a huge challenge for us. But look, we'll take a cut off it and see where it gets us, Oisin.
Okay, just finally then, Ollie, and I know you're waiting to get confirmation on suspensions and where it leaves you and who's available, but from players who maybe picked up at knocks over the last couple of games, does that 24 hours maybe give you an extra wee bit of time just to see if you have maybe everybody ready?
Not really, no. We'd need a couple of bodies. We'd need more than the 24 hours extra. You know, should we be in a playoff, we're hopeful that they'll be available for the weekend, as in the weekend after the Waterford game. I think Monday will be too soon. Sunday was probably too soon. However, we still don't know what we'll be down bodies-wise through suspensions, because we go into a different calendar week in the FAI schedule. And look, it leaves a lot to be desired in the manner in which it's been handled.
Okay, listen, thanks for taking the call, and the best of luck next Monday against Waterford.
Thanks, Oisin. Take care.
On the international front, Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman has been named in the 26-man squad for the three internationals later this month. The Everton skipper missed last month's Ireland matches after injuring his hamstring, which went again on his return in the Merseyside derby, ruling him out of the last two club matches. Luton Town striker James Collins has been called up for the first time since Stephen Kenny took the managerial reins. Portsmouth forward Ronan Curtis and Wokeham's Dal Horgan keep their places, but Southampton Shane Long and Preston forward Shawnee Maguire are left out. Ireland, of course, play England at Wembley in their friendly next Thursday, and then they'll play Wales and Bulgaria in the Nations League. On the Gaelic Games front, the GAA's Fergal McGill has said that the impact of COVID-19 may help convince Congress of the merits of a split season. The Fixtures Review Task Force has recommended a proposal which would see inter-county season finished by the end of July. Provincial championships would be retained but could see counties switch in provinces. Counties will be consulted on the proposals this month before the matter is put before Congress in February. I've been speaking to Highlands GAA correspondent Martin McHugh about these proposals and what effect they could have.
Well, I think the first thing I should say, it took pandemic to make us realise that club football needed a calendar of its own, and county, inter-county did. So that's maybe one of the pluses has come out of all this here. But yeah, I think what they're doing, as you said, they're looking for feedback from now to December on what people think and everything else, which is fair enough. And then, you know, they'll go to Congress in February, to Congress, to put these proposals for 2022. So you have new schedule and new structure, and it looks like they're talking about a date time of having the All-Ireland football final on the third Sunday of July and having the All-Ireland hurling the week before on the second Sunday of July. That seems what they're doing, Oisín. Looking at it, the four different things set out to people, the county boards and that at the minute. One is to stay as it is, the current way it is. The other one is go back to pre-2018, which will be doing away with the Super 8s and that. And then the big ones is, they're talking about having first of all, one in a league system, the league to the championship, where they move the league to the summer, Division 1, 2 and 3 and 4. Simple as way, the top 5 in Division 1, the top 3 in Division 2 and the top 1 in Division 3 and the top 1 in Division 4 will go forward to play out for the All-Ireland serious, and that's one of the systems that they have there. There are a lot of people in favour of that. That's, of course, doing away with the provincial championships completely, which people wouldn't be happy. The other system, which there's a lot of talk about, is starting the championship, as I said, around the second Sunday of April, having that 12 weeks to play with a final on the third Sunday of July. And the way they're doing that there is the two bottom teams in the league, which will be this year in Ulster, would be Antrim and Derry, would play off in the preliminary round, and the loser heads to Connacht for Connacht. Then you have the same system in Leinster, where you had six teams, Oisín. The bottom three teams in that there would play off. Then six teams outside the big teams in Leinster, they play off. The bottom two will go to Munster to make it 8 team, and the other one will head to Leinster as well to make it, head to Connacht to make it 8 team there. So you had a 4 8s, and they're split into two groups of four, and then they play off the championship like that. The top two teams then would meet in the Ulster final, and the other teams then going into a backdoor system depending where you finish.
Okay, well, looking at it, Martin, from an under-county point of view, before we touch on club, there's a lot in there. That last scenario, the fourth scenario you gave, it's a bit complicated. Which of these would you favour, Martin?
Well, I've always favoured do away with the provincial championships, Oisín, and I think maybe having the league, making the league and the championship all the ones, I would favour that, because I think that, you know, we'd have great games and big games and everything else, and the league would become very important. It would become league and championship, and I think that's the system we have in the likes of the Premiership in England, and we have it in rugby and everything else, and I think it's a way forward. But I don't think that the reason being is that the provincial councils are not going to be like turkeys voting for Christmas and that, and I can't maybe see that going through. It looks that maybe it could be the other system that would go through and everything else, but I think either way, it's good. I think it's good for the club and everything else. But the one thing out of it, Oisín, is the big one, is that you could end up with a county manager. He could manage a county for half the year and then manage a club for the other half the year. So he could be double jobbing in that situation there.
You could also have a county manager managing a team from one province, and could they end up winning a title in another province?
Yeah, that's very possible with the system the way it is. If that system comes in and everything else, it'll be interesting to see what the likes of, will say, Antrim be happy enough to go to Connacht to play in Connacht and everything else. I thought that maybe to make it more competitive, they would send a different team from Ulster every year, but it doesn't seem that that's the system they want. And then that's saying provincial councils want to keep their best teams in their own provincials, in their own province and that there. So yeah, it's a difficult one to say, but I think the big one from a club point of view is that there's a structure there for the club and everything else, and they can get ready at a certain time. They know exactly how their calendar. They can prepare for things like, you know, getting married or anything else, holidays and everything else they want, or whatever they're doing with work and everything else. They can prepare for that. So that is a big plus in it and everything
else. So this is all to benefit the club, Martin, isn't it?
I think definitely, Oisin. I think the other thing about it is if you take it that, suppose the problem you had the year that we're playing, the clubs were playing, you know, at the time of year they were playing this year. And I mean, if you start the third Sunday of July, but I think that what most clubs will say, we'll wait till after, we'll start the championship, the bank holiday August weekend, which normally is good weather and everything else. So yeah, I think it's going to benefit the club. And I think it's a good way forward. I've been talking about it long enough that we need a calendar for a club and a calendar for county. This looks good. Will it get passed or not? We don't know. There'll be a lot of people wanting to stay with the same system, vote for the same system. Maybe people even don't agree with the Super 8s and everything else. But I think at least there's going to be plenty of chat out there every now and then. And anybody listening to us that want to send, you know, get your, a lot of people, you know, I do get letters from people and everything else saying this will be the best structure for the GEA. You have a chance now, send it to Croke Park and get it in there and have your say in it, because it's very important for club number one, because we look at the Premiership in England, club is number one and the county is second. I think it should be the same way. Club should be the big thing in the GEA, with the inter-county is secondary. A lot of people might agree with me, but maybe the whole inter-county thing comes down to money and everything else. But I think we're going the right way. People have really enjoyed club football this year. They've really enjoyed watching it on TV or listening to local radio and that there when it was being on and everything else. So I think we're going the right way. And I think this is going to be good for everybody in the GAA, particularly for the club.
Just before you go, Mark, we'll touch on the action this coming weekend in Ulster. We do, of course, have Cavan against Antrim and Fermanagh against Down. Two more key games in Ulster. How do you see these ones going?
Yeah, well, home advantage for Cavan, and, you know, Antrim with the hammering they got in Wicklow there in the second last league game, they were disappointed. I know they beat Waterford in the last game in Dundalk and that their one was played, you know, but I just think that Cavan, you know, the great buzz in Cavan and everything else, they're really up for, you know, they do sometimes get carried away about with everything else success, but I expect Cavan, especially in Breffni Park, to have too much and get through. The other one, the Fermanagh Down one, is a real hard one to call. The game's in Enniskillen. And you know, for men are always hard to beat in Enniskillen and everything else. But I think this big talk coming out of Down that they're happy with Paddy Talley. They're going really well under Paddy Talley. And I just think maybe Down will have enough to get over Fermanagh, even in Enniskillen, and they'll get through to meet Cavan in the semi-final.
Okay, listen, Martin, I'm sure you'll enjoy watching the games this weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Oisin.
Just looking ahead now to some of the weekend's action Gaelic Games-wise involving North West Counties. Two of the Tyrone sides are out in action. On Saturday, the Tyrone Senior Ladies and indeed the Tyrone Senior Hurlers will both be on the road. The Tyrone Ladies are taking on Mayo in their second game in Group 4 of the All-Ireland Senior Championship. And Tyrone, of course, need to win if they are to stay in contention to try and make it through to the knockout stages after losing heavily to Armagh in their opener. As for the Hurlers, they're also set for Nicky Rackard action on Saturday. They're going to make the short trip to Clontibret to play Monaghan. The winner, of course, will go through to take on Donegal on Saturday week. I've been speaking to Paddy Hunter of the Ulster Herald, who says that Matty Lennon's side can bounce back from the heavy defeat at the hands of the Mayo Hurlers last weekend.
Tyrone against Mayo didn't go to plan, but Matty Lennon expected that coming into this game, minus a handful of players. I think there's something in the region of 8 or 9 players unavailable to him. Obviously, COVID isolation and stuff like that there. You know, they lost 124-9 points. But to take the positives out of it, which I suppose Matty always does and has done in the past, you know, he'd give a reggae young lads game time. And that was probably the right thing to do, because Tyrone have a lot of young lads coming through at minor level and that, and maybe this year is probably the best opportunity they're going to have to get a run out, you know. But that said, we'd expect changes this week against Monaghan.
Yeah, so it'll be a stronger Tyrone side then this weekend that's going to go to Clontibret.
You would expect so. Damien Casey was carrying out last week, still managed 6 points, but was very much more ineffective than he normally would be because he had to play more defensive role for Tyrone, which was certainly not the way he's normally used to. We all know him as a midfielder going forward and attacking and tag on. Maybe, you know, it would be a bad day where he wouldn't be scoring maybe 12, 13 points. But as I said, at the weekend, just 6 points. He's playing a more deeper role. You know, Kiefer Morgan there, Brandon Malloy, John McGurk among points as well. But there wasn't enough strength in the side. That said, Matty did have Sean O'Grugan back. Sean O'Grugan from the Air Road Club, of course. He had announced his retirement about a year or so ago, but was back giving a hand out as well. Had a very good year club level with their Rogue club, so I suppose to have him back in the squad. But you're missing the likes of Conor Grugan, for example, you know, key players like that, and Justy Kelly, and, you know, those players who hopefully will be back this weekend. So we'll wait to see, I suppose, is all we can do, Oisin.
Well, if they are at full strength, or near enough to full strength, Paddy, what's their chances of coming through this game against Monaghan?
I suppose that the Nicky Racker Cup was always the competition that they wanted to play well in. And I suppose when you look back at the start of the year, the championship was always the plan. The league obviously was crammed into a very small window this year, which has always annoyed the people. I'm going to say in the lower tier of hurling, but you know what I mean, Oisin. The people like the Donegals and the Tyrones, the Monaghans and that, sort of all squeezed into that. And there wasn't an awful lot of hurling that got in the league. So the championship was always going to be the big one. It was changed, obviously. The first game against Warwickshire was cancelled for obvious reasons. And then, you know, they were put in cold against Mayo. So it wasn't the way that Matty would have hoped for. He always talks as well, Oisin, that the hurling has played in the worst possible season. You know, you have the early part of the year normally for the Nicky Racker Cup in the league, and then that's their season over. This year's the opposite. We had the league at the very start of the year. Summer weather was brilliant. Very limited hurling in Tyrone because the two main clubs there, Rogue Club and the Rua Club, weren't able to play outside their own county, which they would normally do, one in Derry, one in Antrim. So there was problems there. But then they're back into the winter again and the heavy sod and all that there. So life has been difficult for them. That said, they take on a Monaghan side, plenty of experience, and you never know what you're going to get from Monaghan. One year to the next, there might be an odd guard here, there might be an odd customs man, and things like that over the past few years that have really helped the Monaghan cause, and that has been the difficulty. Tyrone go into this game with absolutely nothing to lose. You know, really, they have to win it, and that's the reality for Matty Lennon, Damien Casey and co. You know, they missed their captain last week. He should be back this week, young Cairns. You know, so there's players coming in. There's a positive approach about the camp, and you know they're going into this game really knowing they have to win it, and I would fancy their chances, actually, to tell you the truth.
Well, the carrot is, of course, a game against Donegal. The winners will go through to play Mickey McCann's side, who came through against Armagh in horrendous conditions last weekend at the O'Donnell Park, and I'm sure Tyrone would like to get a crack at Donegal.
They would, I think they probably would. You know, there's been some great battles over the years. You go back to, obviously, the Racker Cup. You go back to the Larry Maher. And, you know, all these other competitions and the league. And, of course, a famous under-20 game played a few years ago up in Derry as well. You know, these boys know each other so, so well. But from Matty's point of view, as he said last week, as we talked to him for our own podcast here ahead of the game against Mayo, you know, it was all about getting the result. He knew he wasn't going to get the result out of the Mayo game. So the focus has been very much on this next game. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be digging things out in a relegation battle in the middle of November. And that's something I'm sure is in the back of his mind as well. I'm sure he'd rather be playing Donegal in a fortnight's time.
I'm going to move on to Camogie. We don't get a chance to talk about Camogie very often, but tell us about the cup final that Tyrone's involved in against their neighbours, Cavan. It's actually the following weekend.
That's right, Oisin, around the 15th, I think it is. That is the Nancy Murray Cup final. Tyrone played Cavan in the first round of the competition this year, heavily beaten by a good Cavan side. But Tyrone were missing several regulars. They went and played Louth the following week and gave them a bit of a thrumming. So, and turned in, Cavan beat Louth. And in this small group competition as it is, well, they're obviously up against Cavan now in the final next weekend. Tyrone will have several players back, obviously, as well. A couple of dual players there playing for the Tyrone ladies as well. They'll be available, like Grania Rafferty. She'll be available next week. So, you know, they're going into this game full of confidence. They've had a wonderful underage success over the past couple of years. The bulk of their minor squad, the Tyrone minor squad, won the C Championship last year and were favourites this year to do well in the competition. Obviously, it was called off too. So, there's a lot of those players coming through. Probably the main plan would be next year, really, for Tyrone. But at the end of this competition, the Nancy Murray Cup, then they play in the Premier Junior All-Ireland competition as well. And I think it's an Armagh team, maybe, or Roscommon, maybe waiting on them further down the line. So the season isn't over, whatever happens in a fortnight. But it's good for Camogie in the county. There's been a lot of work done at underage level over the past couple of years. A few new clubs, and, you know, it's starting to emerge again, you know, and working hand in hand with ladies football. But the interesting thing, Oisín, the WGPA document out last week highlighted the fact about female sport, and it's a program on its own, really. But the interesting one being that only 7% of ladies sports people, and I mean Camogie and footballers and that, only get travel expenses. So there's a lot of issues down there as well. But they're all working hard together, and that's a positive thing, really. But going to this game, Declan Sherlock's the man in charge, along with Tony Cassidy there, and, you know, this Tyrone team, slowly building, but it's more probably about next year than this year. But anything would be a bonus at the minute, wouldn't it?
And talking of ladies, the footballers will be looking to bounce back after that heavy defeat against Armagh in the opening round of the All-Ireland Series. And I suppose when you suffer defeat in your opening game, you're hoping other results go your way. Can they test Mayo? Can they get the result that they need this coming weekend, Paddy?
Suppose Oisín and Mayo come into this game completely cold. They played a couple of challenge games. Had the pleasure of talking to Mick Bohan last week, the Dublin manager, and he said they were coming into this game cold as well, their game against Donegal last week, and he suggested the fact that he was more like a social worker, and I think that's the way so many managers have been this year. He had 13 players in the front line. I know Tyrone would have a handful of players as well working in that pandemic as well. So, you know, you sort of wonder if it's a mental thing maybe with some players. I know Tyrone were heavily beaten by Armagh in the Ulster Championship a few weeks ago as well. Come back into this game against Armagh last week. And, you know, for the first maybe 25 minutes, dominated the game. Led 1-4 to 2 points, but allowed Armagh in with 2-4. Aoife McCoy with a goal, Amy Mackin with a goal. Aoife McCoy actually finished with a hat-trick. So a lot of learning to be done. A lot of soul-searching from some of those players as well, it has to be said too, because they're facing a very good Mayo side. Doesn't matter, actually, I know they're coming in cold, as I said, but they are an experienced team, they're a quality side. And Tyrone have to win by 13 points and hope that Mayo beat Armagh the following week in their final game by less than 13 points. So there's an awful lot that goes into this one. That said, it's a strange season. There's no relegation this year from Ladies Football, so they'll be playing senior football next year. The target for them remains getting out of Division 2. That still is the task. We don't know when that league campaign is going to start or what the situation is with that. But they're going into this game, I would say there'll be a few changes. Their attack was a bit better than had been. But the stark reality is, actually, they've conceded 17 goals in their three last championship games, Cork in the quarter-final last year and the two Armagh games in the past couple of weeks as well. So Mayo will have watched that. They know that goals, obviously, as we often say, goals won games, but certainly they're going to know as well that they're coming into to face a Tyrone side who have conceded so many goals. So they'll have to be careful from a Tyrone point of view, and I would say there'll be one or two changes as well. Disappointing day for them last Friday, you know, because at the end of the day, they come into this game absolutely nothing to lose. And, you know, at the end of the day, they dominated parts of the game, but allowed Armagh to get away, and they had to play catch-up in the second half when there could have been one or two points up. They ended up 7 points down at half time, so it left them with a massive job to do. And no doubt Mayo will come into this game buzzing, even though they are coming in cold. They'll know what they expect against Tyrone. They'll have seen them twice.
Listen, Paddy, it's a bit strange not talking about the men's football. It's about the hurling, the Camogie, and the ladies' football.
Probably better not talking about the men's football at the minute, anyway, Oisín, because I think the big question continues, will Mickey stay, will Mickey go? That seems to be all that Tyrone people are talking about over the past few days since that loss to Donegal. So that's another story. But yeah, I suppose from our point of view, it keeps us talking, keeps us writing. So I suppose there has to be a few positives there.
Yeah. That's it. Listen, Paddy Hunter of the Ulster Herald, as always, many thanks for joining us.
No worries, and good lad.
Finally, just sticking with some hurling, and Derry are back in Christy Ring action on Saturday as well. They're taking on one of the former powerhouses of the sport, Offaly. Offaly, of course, are favourites to lift the title in this competition and progress out of the Christy Ring. Derry have already lost to Down in a close encounter last weekend. But Michael McMullen, sports journalist with the County Derry Post, feels that Derry can have a good cut at one of the big stars of hurling.
I don't think Derry could have asked for a tougher game. You know, Offaly have got relegated from the top tier and would be heavy favourites to win the Christy Ring Cup. But Derry's biggest problem, I feel, is getting their attacking game going again, asking if they're really going to give this a go. They were very impressive in the league until COVID, and then after that, they played down in the league final and were completely second best in every position of the field, never looked like winning. And then last week, they met in Ballycran in the Christy Ring Cup, and it was a really sticky, tough day, and they struggled to get scores and actually were ahead and then hit by a goal, sucker punch, and here they are now in the back door against Offaly. So for them to do anything this weekend, they're going to have to really improve their attacking game for me. Their defence was excellent, but it's a two-way street.
Yeah. Would it be seen as probably one of the upsets of the last 10 years in Hurling if Derry was to pull it off?
Definitely would be. And as you touched on earlier on, like 20 years ago, they played in an All-Ireland quarter-final. 2 years before that, Offaly were All-Ireland champions. And, you know, Derry had won two Ulster titles in a row. And that would have been a massive shock at that time. People in Derry are still talking about it. You know, the hurling people in the county. And if Derry wins on Sunday, on Saturday, it would be a massive, massive shock. But, you know, and I do admit they're going to have to improve an awful lot, but, you know, they can do it. When you see the likes of Slantneil mixing it with Ballyhale at club level, so it's up to, you know, the Kevin Lynch's lads, the Slantneil lads, collectively as a group, just to really go for it this Saturday. And they probably don't have anything to lose, you know, probably not many will expect them to win it, but I'm looking forward to it myself to see, you know, at what level they can get to. It's pretty much going to be what they had last weekend from a Derry point of view. Although John McAvoy did say after the game that, you know, he was very impressed by, you know, how his bench impacted the game. And he did comment to me that, you know, he was going to have selection headaches. Like Fintan Bradley came into the attack. He was a top scorer in the Derry Club Championship this year from Lavie. And he did very well whenever he came on. And Oran McKeever came on as a sub as well. And then John Mullen, who came on against Down the first day, himself and Richie Mullen were excellent. So I think that'll be the basis of their team this weekend. So there's not going to be an awful lot of change. Positionally, they'll probably do their homework on Offaly and try and nullify them. Because from the league final, John Mullen went to cornerback as a very defined marking job. So that's the sort of thing I think he might look into this week. You know, John McAvoy would be a very deep thinker. He would think a lot about the game. So I can see him going down the matchup route very much so this weekend.
So obviously it's a big, big, massive game for Derry this coming weekend. But I suppose the stark reality is that the championship could come to an end this weekend for them as well, Michael.
Very much so. And, you know, that's a disappointing factor because, like, last weekend the footballers were, you know, for all their shortfall at different times of the game, when it would come down the stretch, they were in it. And then this weekend, you know, if the hurlers to go out, it'll be a very disappointing couple of weeks for the county. But I don't think many people will give them a chance. And if you're asking me, I think they have an awful lot to do. Unless they can get a better spread of scores from their attack, this is very much an uphill battle. You know, they're coming in against the best team in the competition. There's no doubt about that. But if Derry are going to get to that level, this is the sort of team they're going to be looking to play against in the league. But it may be a bridge too far, but I'm really excited about going to watch it to see exactly where Derry sit, you know, against a standard of team.
Michael McMullen of the County Derry Post, as always, thanks for joining us and enjoy the game at the weekend.
Thanks, Oisín.
That's Michael McMullen speaking to me earlier today on Derry's game against Offaly in the Christy Ring Cup this coming weekend. And that's it from another edition of The Score. You will, of course, be able to recap the programme if you missed any of it in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, just after 8 o'clock tonight. I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the latest Donegal gear online or click and collect at michaelmurphysports.ie.